football on off the ball.
To start with my brother from another mother, Patrick Kluivert, you had Edgar David, you had Frank Rijkaard, you had, and if I need to name one, Frank Rijkaard was of course the man.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Ireland prepare for Friday's huge World Cup qualifier against the Netherlands, with Amber Barrett hoping to lead the line for Carla Ward's side. FIFA row back on their water bottle policy at the World Cup. And are Manchester City about to sue Real Madrid after their alleged pursuit of Erling Haaland? But first today, Carla Ward was in front of the press ahead of tomorrow's World Cup qualifier against the Netherlands at Porky Cueve. Ward will have to do without Emily Murphy and Denise O'Sullivan due to suspension, but will be able to call upon Amber Barrett, the scorer of that famous goal which sent Ireland to a first World Cup back in October 2022. Barrett now plays football with Strasbourg and says the French experience has put her in a better place.
Yeah, I think it's been brilliant. It's been brilliant for me, and definitely I think it's lifted my standards and put me in another level where I believed I could reach. And I think that, you know, it's not easy moving halfway through the season. It's not a case of you're just moving 20 minutes down the road, like you're moving to a new country. You're leaving behind something you've known for the last 2.5 years. And, you know, I was very grateful for Liège and everything they'd done for me. And I think the time for me to move was right. And I think I made the right decision with that. Then it's the learning experience of going into a new environment, adjusting to the league. Of course, the quality of the players is much, much higher to what I was used to. So probably for the first couple of weeks, I was in that adapting stage. But I think then when I found my feet, and, you know, I always have that kind of inner belief that I can settle fairly quickly. And I think I did. And as soon as the first goal goes in, I think my confidence is ready then for the next opportunity. And obviously game time was massively important to that. And it really, really helped me find my feet and get a few goals as well.
The Donegal woman will aim to start, especially in the absence of Emily Murphy, but says she's prepared to do whatever role is needed.
Yeah, 100%. I think that, you know, every camp I come into, that's the same mindset that I have. And I think sometimes I've been maybe a wee bit unlucky not to get the nod, but I'm also that type of person that if it's not a starting position that I get, that I have to be ready to come on at any stage. And I think it's shown that it might be like it was in Poland the last 20 minutes and it's a little bit defensive, but when balls come up to you, that you make them stick, that when it's time to run down the clock, that you're the one to do it as well. So of course, every game, every time you come in for Ireland, everybody wants to play, and that's definitely my mentality as well. But I'm always in that position when you have to, you know, create also the positive environment for the team. It's no good for anybody if I'm running around with a miserable face on me, because at the end of the day, it's not about me, it's about everyone. And I think that's where it's worked really well for me, is that when you kind of carry yourself in that light, the opportunities come and you know you're ready for them. And I never have any doubt that I'm ready to go.
Ireland picked up their first two wins of the campaign in the last international camp, with back-to-back wins against Poland. And Barrett says that winning breeds confidence.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you know, we had a really, really good campaign so far. I think even on reflection, looking at the first two games, we were very unlucky to come away with no points. And, you know, that's something that we looked at going into the last camp. And we set out at the start of the last camp with 6 points was our aim, and that was our goal. And to achieve that is massively uplifting to everybody. It creates a winning mentality. The environment just lifts with that. At the end of the day, you want to win games. And, you know, if it's a friendly or if it's a qualifier, winning games creates that type of positive environment. And I think you can definitely feel it coming in. And also, I suppose, you know, looking at the table mathematically, we can still qualify directly. So I think winning the last two games has also given us, you know, that's kept us in eye line with that as well. And of course, we're not getting ahead of ourselves, but it's nice to be in that position rather than you're in a position and you're realistically playing just to avoid the fourth position. And yeah, it just creates that, you know, driving the standards among the players and everything. And it's a lovely place to be in that side.
And you can hear live commentary of that game on Off the Ball and News Talk and the Go Loud app from 7 o'clock tomorrow. Stephen Doyle will be joined in the commentary box by Pearl Slattery. Meanwhile, Hamer Helgumson's Ireland side are in Montreal to take on Canada in the very early hours of Saturday morning. There are several League of Ireland players in contention to make their senior international debuts, including Bohemians captain Dawson Devoy. He told the FAI in-house media channel he's delighted to get going with the senior setup.
Yeah, really enjoyable so far. Obviously, had a couple of sessions now, so just settling in really well with the lads and all, and really enjoying it. Yeah.
That game kicks off at 12:30 on Friday night / Saturday morning in Montreal. On this week's episode of The Green Scene, Matthew Brennan and David Wilson looked ahead of the match and also discussed the recent Stop the Game protest that disrupted the Qatar game.
My main gripe at the start was the fact that when the draw was made initially for the Nations League, Hamer Hogginson was left to deal with the media. Mm-hmm. And not just the Irish media, the global media wanted to know what the manager of the Republic of Ireland national team had to say about this issue. There were representatives from the FAI there on that day. They had a statement prepared to go and put out that statement but didn't speak. They left it to Hamer. The FAI is the football organisation of, or the Football Association of Ireland, right? So their priority is, of course, football. Mm-hmm. UEFA has got the word football in its name as well. FIFA has got the word football in its name. But where the difference comes in is that UEFA have these rules that they are supposed to follow, and they've opted not to follow these rules. FIFA have set a precedent where they didn't have to do any of this. They didn't have to get involved in any political ways of thinking or anything like that, but they have decided to act in such a way and have differing views on similar situations. As Hamer has referenced multiple times, they've acted one way with Russia and they've acted one way with Israel. And the situations, of course, are not absolutely identical. Of course they're not. With something like this, you're never going to find two identical situations, but they fall under the same category. But the main thing is, of course, that they're setting up football teams in areas that they do not control, that are not theirs, yep. You know? And that's the rule that they've broken, and therefore they shouldn't be competing. And there's also the issue as well, as far as leadership goes, with the Irish government. In Nathan Collins comes out and says that he feels as though it's an FAI decision. The FAI then have come out and said, look, it's a government-type thing, and then the government have spoken and have said it's up to UEFA, it's up to FIFA. So everyone's pushing the kind of blame around here. It's not blame, pushing the responsibility around.
Yeah.
And you're not really getting anywhere.
No.
And when you have ministers coming out and saying that they're not going to attend, for a person in a position of leadership to turn around and go, well, I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
It doesn't set a great precedent.
And with a couple of Irish players set to depart their clubs, Matthew and David also discussed Will Smallbone, Sinclair Armstrong and Aaron Connolly.
There is a bit of news regarding Sinclair Armstrong. He looks like he's off to Turkey.
Yeah, Göztepe. Göztepe, yeah. They had been, he'd been linked with a couple of different moves to Turkey. I'm not sure if it was exactly Göztepe. I think they were linked before. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of other teams. I think Istanbul Başakşehir might be interested as well around a similar time that Festi went over there. He's, of course, still there. It'd be interesting to see if he does make a move. But yeah, it's for his personal life and for his career to a degree, it's probably not the worst thing in the world. He's going to be going off the beaten track a little bit as far as the on-watching public are concerned. Everyone knows, really, can at the click of a button. And you can still do that, of course, but there's a lot more rhetoric around him when he's at Bristol City and he's not playing that much and he's coming off the bench. He might do something really well and then he might start and he'll be terrible, which tends to be how it kind of went for him at Bristol City. He's obviously there for the last 2 years, haven't been a QPR before. Someone who's got the profile to kind of be Anthony wants, you know? He has the athletic prowess to be a very valuable asset. As far as the Republic of Ireland senior team goes, it just hasn't really clicked for him. He's had moments of flashes, as I kind of alluded to there.
Yeah. Still quite young.
He's only 23, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, 23. So, look, it's not the end of the road for him by any means. And it might be a nice one for him to get his career. I was going to say back on track. It wasn't totally off track.
No.
It was just stagnating, I suppose. And it's a unique one. It'll go one of two ways. But I do think, regardless of whether it goes the second of those ways, which is negatively, I don't think it would turn teams back in England rolling the dice on him. You know, he has attributes that teams are always crying out for. So if he does become available, I think it's a 2-year deal he's signing or something like that, I think.
Looks like
that's
it,
the talk, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, if it's a 2-year deal and those 2 years kind of come and go, you could easily see him back in England playing in League One or something like that. Yeah. You know, there'd be no issue there. So the very best luck to him. I'm a big fan of him. I hope he does well.
Yeah, my actually age him a few weeks. He's 23 in 2 weeks' time.
He's my age. Yeah.
When he discussed Tepe, it just reminds me of Ramal Palmer, who obviously plays for St. Pat's, and he's hell of a player. But you know, his move after Göztepe was to St. Pat's. Like, I don't think Sinclair Armstrong would be thinking, I'm going back to League of or I'm going to League of Ireland after he makes this move. It's, you know, he'll make this move and then try and probably get back to a team in the UK. Or maybe he follows the John Afolabi route and he plays on the continent, as Ben Symes, you know, most famously loves.
Yeah.
On that, just before, well, another transfer one, a transfer move for someone who's ending his stint is Will Smallbone at Southampton.
Yeah, his contract's obviously running out at the minute. He was out on loan at Millwall last year, had a very bright start to life there, picked up a pretty bad injury very early on, was out for the rest of the season, made a couple of appearances off the bench for them in the run-in as they chased automatic promotion, ended up in the playoffs. He didn't play any part for them in that, but they were obviously keen enough on his capabilities if they felt as though he warranted being kept around despite the fact he was injured for 7 or 8 months. So it will be interesting to see where he ends up. Mm-hmm. Obviously leaving Southampton now.
Premier League experience, yeah. International caps.
I wouldn't be all surprised to see Millwall just pick him up, to be totally honest. They're going to be up towards the top of the Championship again.
That's available to listen back to now in full for free in your OTB Football podcast feed. And remember, click follow in your feed if you don't want to miss a thing. Michael O'Neill will have full focus on Northern Ireland when they return to action in a friendly against Guinea tonight. He recently signed a new contract, despite also managing Blackburn at the back end of last season. Swansea midfielder Ethan Galbraith is fit to play after missing the end of his club's campaign with a calf injury. Fans at the World Cup won't be allowed to take refillable water bottles into stadiums after FIFA made a late change to its policy. The governing body says the move has been made to prevent risk and injury to players and attendees. Supporters groups have criticised the decision due to the extreme heat expected at some venues. Ticket holders had previously been told they could take an empty water bottle to games. The World Cup starts a week today and teams continue to arrive at the tournament. Morocco have touched down in New Jersey where they'll continue their preparations. They were the surprise package of the tournament 4 years ago when they got to the semi-finals. Captain Ashraf Hakimi is excited to see how far they can go this time.
Of course, we are a little bit tired. It was a long flight, but really happy, like I said. We are happy to be here. We can't wait to start training and see that atmosphere, like I said, of the Moroccan all the support in America. So really happy and excited to be here.
USA defender Sergiño Dest says they fear nobody at the tournament. The co-hosts play their first game a week on Saturday when they face Paraguay. Dest says they're ready.
We're in a good headspace, you know. Everybody is pretty confident that we can win against anyone. You know, everybody is motivated, so that's also really important. And I don't know, I think we all can't wait to start.
The first game of the tournament is Mexico against South Africa next Thursday. Meanwhile, Ollie Watkins says both he and Ivan Toney are different players, but he believes both can help England achieve World Cup glory this summer. They'll be the backup to Harry Kane, with Tony's selection coming as a surprise after playing just 7 minutes under Thomas Tuchel. Watkins says it's good to have options.
You need that. You need to have versatility. At the end of the day, Ivan's a proven goal scorer. And even in the last Euros, there was times where he came on when the team needed him. And then I had my moment, obviously, in the semi-final as well. So, yeah, I think it's amazing that we've got Ivan here. He's a clinical goal scorer.
Watkins also said that being left out of Thomas Tuchel's England squad earlier this year sparked the best form of his career.
You know, I think it was a blessing in disguise. Sometimes when something gets taken away from you, you realise how important it is, and it gives you that fire in your belly to come back. And it was just proving to myself what I can do, and the manager always had faith in me and knows what I could do.
Manchester City are considering legal action after Real Madrid presidential candidate Enrique Riquelme promised to sign Erling Haaland if he's elected. He unveiled a Real shirt with Haaland's name on the back during a TV appearance. City say there's no chance of it happening and they're unhappy with Haaland's image being used in the campaign. The management team of Haaland released a statement saying the situation is all very entertaining but not true. Riquelme also stated that Rodri would be on the move to the Bernabeu if he wins. The Spain international is out of contract with City at the end of next season, but City's position has consistently been they have no intention of selling him this summer. And Chelsea's former record goal scorer Bobby Tamlyn died at the age of 84. Tamlyn scored 202 goals from 370 games between 1959 and 1970. That record was then broken by Frank Lampard in 2013. He won 3 caps for England before joining Crystal Palace in 1970. Tamlyn finished his career in Ireland and settled in Cork, where he managed local sides Cork Celtic, Cork City and Crosshaven. He also played with Waterford and Shamrock Rovers. In recent years, he had been living with dementia. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, and I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.